Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, let's learn some Latin today. What do you think? I'm in. You in? Let's go for it. Caveat emptor. There, I just taught you some Latin. Caveat emptor. And you're thinking, man, I've heard that before. I've heard that phrase before. And you probably have. Caveat emptor is Latin for buyer beware. Or, as we like to say in the real estate industry, let the buyer beware. Anytime you involve yourself in a transaction, a contractual relationship, if you will, the burden always gets pushed onto the person who is buying the asset to verify that everything is good to go or not good to go. And I'll tell you, in this nutty market we're in right now, there are people that are just willing to absorb risk. And on today's show, we're going to get into how much risk can you really absorb. But before I do that, I actually have to bring somebody on to help me with this, because I wasn't the greatest student when it came to Latin. As a matter of fact, I never took a Latin class. That was one of those classes that just scared the bejeebers out of me, because my dad had to learn Latin when he was a kid, and he just always told me how terrible it was. So, of course, he imprinted that on my mind, and well, here we are today. So, to help me talk about this Latin phrase, I have brought in a recovering attorney. That's right. Somebody who actually knows something about contract law. And even though he's not a practicing attorney anymore, you can't unlearn all the things that Lee Reeves has learned. And even more important, we've actually grabbed Lee out of our membership, and we've asked him to teach our members everything they need to know to be a successful real estate investor. And Lee does that. He actually created a new learning modality for us that we call the four part. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Lee onto the show, and we'll just say hi to him. Hi, Lee. How you doing?
Hey, Al. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. So what is this four part thing that you concocted? What's the purpose for that?
Well, you know, when kind of the world went sideways last year, we wanted to get out to people in a way that we had not yet really needed to. We had done everything in person up to that point, but the message that we have and the learning that we provide to people was still important to do. And so we thought, well, we can do a traditional two-part, a Saturday, Sunday online, and we did. But we thought, you know, there's a lot of folks out there who want to, you know, give their kids some dinner and be done with work and then learn the two-day in four different parts in the evening. And I was challenged to set that up and divide our materials in a way that made sense. And so I did that. And Greg Scott, another presenter, and I have honed that over the course of a year. Guys, it's a fantastic way to do what may not work for you on the weekend, but do it in the middle of the week in the evening. And we've had a lot of success with it and a lot of great feedback from it as well.
Now, do you get into this concept of caveat emptor when you're teaching our members?
We do. I mean, buyer beware is something that we do teach. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who are willing to sell you something that you need to know as much about in order to make a good decision. And that's what we really set you up for with the four-part and the two-day. And if it's okay, Al, I'd like to tell you about upcoming events so that you can actually be prepared. for those moments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let us have it.
All right, I'll let it rip. So we've got some free workshops coming up. These are conducted by live stream. You don't have to go anywhere. You do have to register, though, at lifestylesunlimited.com. And we've got two coming up that I want to mention in particular. One on Saturday, the 14th of August. It's at noon Central Time. And the next is the following Tuesday in the evening. So we've got different schedules that might work for different folks. That's at 6:30 Central Time. Register for that at lifestylesunlimited.com. We've also got case study coming up. There is one in Central Texas next Thursday, the 19th, and that's at 6 p.m. Central. And if you already know that you want to learn how to buy single family and small multifamily in our 2-day financial freedom seminar, we have six this month, six. The first is a 2-day in-person and online this coming weekend. It's out of the Northern Texas office. We have a 4-part financial freedom seminar starting next Tuesday. I will be teaching that over the course of next week and the following week. And then we have a 2-day in Central Texas, the 21st and 22nd. And I'm excited about this because we've got in-person, on-site 2 days on the 28th and the 29th, both in Richmond, Virginia, where we have a great group of Lifestyles members, and also in the Bay Area of California, where we've got another phenomenal group of Lifestyles members. To sign up for that, go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. The promo code is DEL, D-E-L, to sign up for that. And I know we only have a few more seconds, so I want to mention that for our members out there, we've got some meetups coming up. Tampa, it's in person on the 14th. Detroit, it's in person on the 19th. And I'm excited about this one. In Southern California, we have a virtual meetup on Thursday, August 26th. The topic is how to get the most out of the Lifestyles Unlimited Expo, which is coming up in Irving in the DFW area on September 3rd and 4th.
Wow, Lee, we have a very packed schedule. And I'll tell you what, we're going to make all of that happen. I just love the fact that we're making the 2-day available so many times because it's important that you get that education. We come back from the break. Caveat emptor.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought 3 brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have 3 of her inherited properties and then 3 properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into 3, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems. Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at lifestylesunlimitedfreeworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Caveat emptor. What is caveat emptor? Well, it's a Latin phrase that when translated means let the buyer beware. Yeah, let the buyer beware. In other words, make sure you understand what's going on within the confines of the transaction. Yeah, I know, I just get all wordy on you. I didn't mean to get all wordy. Okay, so the phrase really describes a concept in contract law. And that particular concept places the burden of due diligence on the buyer. So if you're buying something, whether it's a good or a service, the burden of acceptability falls on you. It does. Caveat emptor is a fundamental principle in commerce and just about any contractual relationship that exists between a buyer and a seller. When you went and bought that car that you're driving around, the burden of responsibility for the effectiveness and the serviceability of that vehicle fell on your shoulders. It's not the responsibility of the car dealer to make sure everything's 100% good to go to your standards. So what do? Well, if you're buying a new car, probably nothing. I mean, after all, it's a new car, right? Maybe you look at Consumer Reports or, you know, Road and Track magazine. I don't know. You do your homework, but you assume that if a product is new, it's probably up to a certain level of standard. And of course, many automobile dealers will include some type of warranty on the product to give you that peace of mind, so that if something, you know, doesn't live up to expectations within a certain period of time or a certain mileage range, that warranty will cover repairs and make the item whole again. In real estate, it's the same thing. It's absolutely the same thing. You can go buy a new home, and you can have a reasonable expectation that everything in that property is brand new. And many builders will give you some type of warranty. Maybe it's a structural integrity warranty for a certain period of time that says if something goes bad, this thing will cover you. There'll be no damage to your economic position. But what about used things? What about things that were previously owned? Okay, let's go back to the car. So what were you taught growing up? I mean, probably the first thing you were taught, like I was taught, was that you're not getting a new car at the age of 16. I mean, if you even get a car, it's probably going to be a used car. And it's probably going to be a little bit older and, you know, but it's transportation. So what did your parents tell you, or whoever offered you advice about how to buy that car? They probably told you, ask the seller if they would be willing to allow you to take it to a mechanic of your choice and have them just kind of check out the vehicle. And the reason you do that is because you take that item to somebody you have a business relationship with because you trust them to look over the vehicle and give you an honest opinion as to the serviceability of that vehicle. And I'll be honest with you, I knew a little bit about cars when I bought my first one at the age of 16, but I didn't know that much about cars. So I took the car to a mechanic who basically ran through it, and he checked a couple things. I don't know exactly what he checked, but he said, hey, you know what, this car's not in bad shape. And he gave me some information about maybe some things I need to look at. You know, tires look a little worn. You're probably going to have to replace those pretty soon. But, you know, the guy's got full service records, and the car's in good structural shape. I mean, there's no dents or anything. The engine seems to be operating just fine. So it's not a bad deal. Now, in the real estate world, we buy used properties too. We do. As a matter of fact, probably in Al's opinion, and I don't have the statistics to back up this opinion, but I think this opinion is probably correct. I think more properties transact every year that were previously owned than new properties are transacted when they come on the market. I think that's true. Because if you look at any major metropolitan area, there's usually an existing housing stock in that area. And like concentric rings, that housing stock tends to grow over time as people move into that metropolitan area. And, you know, the newer stuff that comes online is towards the outside of those concentric rings, right? That makes total sense. buying real estate is not as easy as buying a car. It's not. Because there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more going on, and it's a completely different asset class. See, a car is really a depreciating asset. I mean, you buy it, whether you buy it new or used, and you drive it off the lot, it immediately goes down in value. It's just the way those things work. Real estate, on the other hand, kind of does both things. Yes, real estate traditionally over time has gone up in value. I mean, you can do your own statistical research on it, and I think you're going to find the same results that I found, which says of all the asset classes out there, real estate is the one that continually outpaces inflation. That's a good thing. Now, some of the systems that exist within improved real estate, that tends to wear out over time. It does. Things like the roof, things like the water heater, things like other systems, maybe the HVAC, or, you know, maybe the flooring is worn out. It's really up to you as the buyer to determine serviceability of these systems. It's totally up to you. And I'm just going to tell you something that I'm seeing in today's marketplace that's making me just take a step back and go, wow, what are people thinking? So people are getting desperate in today's real estate market because they think that the pricing is going to keep going up and up and up, and it kind of is. And they're going to get put out of the marketplace because all of a sudden property that they're trying to buy won't be available for them because it'll be priced too high for them to qualify for. So some of these people are buying property as is. They'll go into a property that looks beautiful on the surface, and they think everything is good to go. And they ignore caveat emptor. We come back from the break, we're going to talk about how expensive that strategy is.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gain and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. Caveat emptor. Sounds pretty cool. I think it sounds pretty cool. I like saying it. Caveat emptor. And there's a lot of people out there blowing that off. Yeah, they're just blowing it off. They are in such a frenzy right now that they think they have to buy real estate absolutely right now because they have to have a home to live in, or they absolutely have to get that next rental property. And because of a lack of good qualified inventory in all of the real estate markets that are out there, the majority of the country is experiencing appreciation in pricing. Because demand is outstripping supply, and as a result, it is pushing pricing upward. Demand is creating upward pressure on pricing. Now, that's coming from a guy that hated economics, but actually got pretty good grades in all of my economics courses, because apparently I listened. That's what's going on out there. Let me tell you what else is going on out there. So my son is in the hunt for a property. Yeah, he modified his strategy, which was originally to find a fourplex that he could owner-occupy, live in one of the units, have the other three units pay their rent, and as a result of that, the right property should pay for itself. It should pay for itself. But the problem we ran into was this. The strategy is sound, but the available properties, not so much. Yeah, a lot of the properties that were coming on the market were, I'm going to be real clean here. I'm just going to say they were incorrectly modified and turned into fourplexes. What am I talking about? All right, so back like in the 90s and the early 2000s, people were buying older, nice houses. And they were literally carving them up into multiple units. That was the strategy back then. You find a house that could be subdivided down into two, three, maybe four units. And you do that, rent those units out, and now you've created a better cash-flowing machine. That's just the way it works. But the problem is this. A lot of the properties that my son looked at were either not zoned correctly. In other words, the zoning on the property did not allow for multiple units on the property. It was an illegal conversion, basically. And if you buy one of those properties, the challenge you're going to have, first of all, if you're going to put a loan on it, it's not going to be conforming to the land use. So the lender is basically going to tell you, you need to go get that property rezoned, which is not a fast process. It is not a fast process to rezone property. And even though there's an existing use, if you will, it's not really a valid existing use, but you know, it's kind of like been going on for a while. That doesn't protect you. You're not grandfathered in. So the majority of properties that were coming on the market, they just weren't making sense. So John said, you know what? I'm going to switch gears. Let's go with properties that do make sense. So he changed his strategy and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go out and I'm going to buy a great rental property. And because he's willing to pay retail pricing and he's going to put a new loan on the property, he knows exactly what he's looking for, and he's looking for something that is already ready to go. You heard me correctly. Already ready to go. So the properties that are catching his eye are properties that look like they're flip properties. Yeah, somebody went out and bought a distressed asset, they fixed it up, and they put it back on the market. All right, so there's nothing wrong with buying flip properties. Nothing wrong with it at all. So he had made several offers on different properties, and he always kept coming in like the number two slot. He adjusted his strategy a little bit, and he said, you know, I'm willing to pay a little bit more than what they're asking because apparently that's what's happening in the market. He made an offer a couple of days ago on a really nice property that will make a wonderful rental property for him. And the game plan is this. He just has to live in that house for a year and a day, owner occupy it, and then after that time period, the clause in his lending documents that mandate he be an owner occupant goes away. It goes away, and he can actually convert it into rental property. So he makes this offer on this property, and I think he either came right in at asking price or a little bit above. And of course, in his offer, he's always going to ask for inspections, and he's going to check the box that says he wants repairs to be made at the seller's expense. He didn't get that property. Somebody else beat him out. And just this morning, he was notified that the original buyers backed out. So John was in the number two position, and he was notified this morning by our agent that, okay, you still want the property? And John said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. So let's get the inspection going. Well, the other buyers apparently did ask for an inspection. They sent a home inspector out to that property, and that home inspector went through that property. And that home inspector found some significant issues, some very significant issues, things that you just won't pop out if you walk into the property and walk around. And apparently the buyers, well, they got spooked. And when I asked my agent to kind of dig into what was going on with this thing, this is what she told me. She said the other buyers had beat John out. They were coming in with conventional financing. They were putting like 20% down. They were planning to make this a rental property. And they went ahead and ordered this inspection. And when they got the results of the inspection, they realized that the cost associated with doing all of the repairs that were identified in this inspection was pretty significant. So significant that they decided, okay, well, maybe this isn't the right property for them, and they walked away. So I asked my realtor, I said, do me a favor, ask if that other offer had the box checked whether the buyer accepts the property as is, or the box was checked that says buyer accepts the property as is, provided that the seller, at the seller's expense, takes care of certain things that will either be required by the lender or just natural safety and health conditions. Well, here's what she came back with. She said, yeah, they checked the as-is box. I don't know what happened with those people. I don't know. You know, we know this. They paid for an inspection, so John didn't have to. And John is now in first place with this property. And here's what's going to happen. John knows that it's going to take about $20,000 to probably do all of these things that were identified. There's some roof issues. There's potential foundation issues. There's water damage within the walls. There's water damage around. There's issues that need to be resolved. So John is drawing a very wide line in the sand. And he's saying, I'll pay your price, but I expect quality in return. We come back from the break, I'll fill you in on the rest of it.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I'm just crunching some numbers for you because I told you I was going to give you some information about, you know, how having this inspection is very important. So the one thing that happened with the original buyers on this property was at least they were smart enough to get an inspection. They had a disinterested third party go out and go through all the systems in the house, look at everything from the top to the bottom, all the sides and everything in between. And this inspector came back with some pretty remarkable findings. He did. So much so that because the original buyers were so desperate to acquire a property, they made an offer above what my son offered and basically took the contingencies out, saying that even though they'll inspect the property, they'll just take it as is. So this is what happened. The inspector said, a lot of problems with the roof. I'll just give you the summary of it. A lot of problems with the roof. Basically, everything that they write about talks about that roof is some significant hail damage because everything that they saw, and this is not a qualified roofer, and they even put a notation in the report saying you need to have a qualified roofer go out and look at this. So if the home inspector is seeing that the roof is not serviceable, I'm guessing the roofer is going to find the same thing. Roof replacements cost money. They are not cheap. And we're talking about a house that's around 1,500 square feet. So how much roof space you're going to replace? Well, about 1,500 square feet of roof space. Yeah, that's, you know, it's not a huge house, but it costs money to put the right roofing material on the property. So what are the things that this inspector find that, you know, could be very problematic? Well, let's talk about the water damage. Yeah, the water damage you can't see when you walk through the house, because behind where the refrigerator sits is a lot of water damage. Apparently, from what the inspector saw, the feed line that comes out of the wall that you would connect your water line to so that the refrigerator could get water into it to make ice or whatever it needs to do, well, apparently, that had been leaking, not on the side that you and I could see. It was leaking on the other side. As a matter of fact, there's a notation in here that indicated that, yeah, the drywall was not so dry. It was very damp to the touch. It was rippled. It had some issues. And the problem becomes this. When water flows unobstructed within your walls, it has to go somewhere. And while it's going somewhere, it is potentially creating more and more damage. Yeah. So definitely something that needs to be remedied. Now, when you walk through this property and you see that it's being sold, you know, with all brand new appliances, and that refrigerator is sitting right in that refrigerator space, you don't notice that as you're walking through the property. Because I'll tell you, cosmetically, this property looks great. What this flipper did is they put lipstick on a pig, they made it look nice, they ignored all the functional systems, they repaired only things that you could visually see. And I don't know anything about these sellers, other than the fact it's pretty clear to me this is a flip property, because I can look at the tax records and I can see the transaction history. So I know what's going on here. And what I think these people are doing is they're going to do as minimum as possible, banking on the fact that people are going to check that box that says, we'll take it as is, and making the assumption that that flipper fixed everything like I would do, or all of my Lifestyles Unlimited comrades would do when we acquire property. So when we acquire property, we go through everything the same way, and we come up with a scope of work, essentially a budget, that tells us how much money is it going to take to remedy this house, to bring it to full functional condition, because I don't want to mess with repairing or replacing anything in the next 5 years. And the numbers don't work out. Okay, we're done. We're out. We're going to the next one. But there are people out there that will make a business decision to sell a property, and they're going to do as little as possible. So this is what's going on right now, because I was talking to Jonathan at the break, and he's been in communication with the seller. And essentially, what we were able to determine, there are 31 things potentially wrong with this property. 31 things. Now, we know that the seller is trying to make money. We understand that. We don't have a problem with the seller making money. The problem we have is having them sell us a house at fair market value that's got broken things in it. So John came up with this plan. He said, look, I'm going to buy this property from you, but you're going to have to fix some things. That roof, that's got to be taken care of. That water damage, depending on where the water damage originates from. Oh, by the way, there's more water damage than just the area by the refrigerator. There's also water damage caused by broken seals and things on certain windows, which looks like it's probably as a result of hail damage. So John made this recommendation to the seller. He said, look, you fix all the water damage, you fix the roof, and some of this cosmetic stuff I can live with, because the appraiser isn't going to care about cosmetic stuff, but the appraiser could care about other things. The other issue is there is a potential problem with the foundation. Now, the inspector went out, and the inspector is not a foundation person. They don't have the right equipment and stuff like that to check the foundation. The inspector indicated that there was some differential movement or settlement in the exterior walls, which usually happens as a result of the foundation getting off of level. So John said, look, I'm going to send a foundation guy out there. If he clears the property, I'm moving forward. And he'll actually have a foundation guy out there within the next 24 hours, because that's how John rules. He said, take care of all that hail damage. Now, you can either pay out of pocket, do all that, or you can file a insurance claim. And I will work with you with regards to timing. Cosmetic stuff, I'll handle. Some of the other things that came out, you know, there were just some indications that there are some GFIs in the house, but they don't necessarily meet current code. So, I mean, really, it's not that hard to, I mean, I've got an electrician to go out there and fix all that for a couple hundred bucks. So John's just saying this, I want a fair deal and I'm your buyer. And that's basically the message he sent back to the seller. So we're going to find out real quick whether or not this seller has any interest in selling a quality product to us, or the seller is more interested in pulling the wool over people's eyes. But ironically, here's how it kind of rolls in Texas. Once a inspection has been done on a property and that seller has possession of that inspection, that seller has to make that inspection available to everybody. So that seller's got a choice to make. Do I go with the ready, willing, and able buyer, this 23-year-old kid over here that has the ability to buy my house, and he's willing to pay me the price I'm asking, but he's just asking that the things within the house meet the expectation of the price? Or do they just want to sell it as is to somebody else, knowing that it's probably about $20,000 of repairs that still need to be done on this property? We're going to find out pretty quick where John's at. And that's really the point I'm trying to convey to you today. Do not get caught up in all this hype that's going on out there. Okay, property prices are going up. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. It's just a function of the marketplace. But they're not going up so aggressively fast. Okay, maybe in some markets they are. They're not going up so aggressively fast that you can't buy property. But just be prepared that in 6 months, the property you have your eyes on may be worth more than it is today. But no matter what you do, make sure you understand the burden that caveat emptor places upon you. And it's really not a burden. It's actually a blessing, because it gives you the opportunity to find out before you find out later. If you want to find out how we do business, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.